Dun 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 dun, and here it comes, that MMA all day. This is Mike Perilla, and I'm sitting here and I'm watching the aftermath of Darren Till versus Stephen Thompson. I'm looking at the welterweight division, and I'm looking at Stephen Thompson is number one, Rafael Dos Anjos, who's really a lightweight, or who's really a 165er. Robbie Lawler is number three, Colby Covington. Colby Covington. He's on that top list because he followed the Chael Sonnen. I don't really have a lot of skills to cover, so let me open my mouth and we'll see what that gets me. Kamaru Usman, gotta say I don't know a lot about that guy. I gotta do my research. I'm not gonna comment on him. Damian Maia, the best one. He's like a relic from the earlier UFCs. My man had one thing going for him, but it was so damn good. It was worth it. Damian Maia, I salute you, sir. Thank you for the years of showing us the beauty of jiu-jitsu and real combat timing. Jorge Masvidal. Jorge, bro, I was with you, man. I remember the first time in 2006 when I saw you beat up Ray in Kimbo's backyard fights, bro. And I remember on your come up, and I would tell people, yo, Masvidal is that truth. His striking, his poise, his killer instinct. My man, though, I want to ask, have you ever heard of something called grappling? Because it seemed, or low kicks, or checking low kicks, or, I mean, I know you dismantled Cerrone, but Cerrone, like, that's the gatekeeper, bro. Anyone with it seems like anyone that's even above B level, C level, it can cause Cerrone problems at welterweight. Darren Till, just saw him. Neil Magny, the dark horse. Santiago Ponzuhibio. I know you beat up Mike Perry, but I got to see more of you before I try to say you're a serious thing. No disrespect. And then there's T.T. Wood, okay? Tyrone Woodley. And I got to say, T. Wood, I see why you're the most hated champion in the UFC division, bro. One, you never got revenge for how Nate Marquardt dusted you. I think it was in Strikeforce. He dusted you. He gave you the Django beatdown. That shit was not pretty, and you never avenged that. You never showed you're a new level version of what happened last time. From what I can remember, your biggest win was against Lawler when you got the title, which I applaud you, but let's not forget that Lawler was the most struck welterweight champion in the history of welterweight champions, okay? His war with Johnny Hendricks, his war with Rory McDonald before he went over to Bellator. You know, Lawler's taking some beatings. Super tough, super caveman mentality. But he's been beaten a couple of times. You want to put him in par with like a drum. He's like a tougher version of Justin Gaethje. You know, and Dustin Poirier said the best. A heavy bag is tough. That don't mean it's going to win all the time. So Lawler comes in. You know, his brain is possibly pushing some, you know, issues. His chin might be a little touchy. Here comes this super powerful, super young stud in T-Wood, and you know, one touch, game over. Then T-Wood gets the belts. You get them two close-ass fights with Stephen Thompson, bro. Like, that first one was a draw. That second one was a draw. They just gave it to you because you're the champ, and they were like, yo, we can't have another draw with these two cats. Thompson ain't lose that fight, bro. Then you fight Maia. You don't destroy Maia. I don't care. Well, my arm with a dog. The fact that he was 40, one-dimensional, no low kicks, no hands, couldn't get you to the ground, and you didn't dust him, you look like a weak champion, bro. And again, I'm not trying to come off any disrespectful. But in the larger, how everyone who watches MMA on the weekends or thinks that they're Joe Rogans, I understand their perceptions. You're not killing people left and right, dog. From the way you look like Mike Tyson of MMA, yet you fight like Calvin Brock of MMA. And anyone who doesn't know who Calvin Brock was, he's the banker boxer. Okay, just to give you a heads up on how famous he was known as the banker who was a boxer and then got dusted by one of the Klitschko's, Vladimir Klitschko. Okay, your style is very safe and somewhat boring. Thompson gave you your biggest issue, and you never clear-cut beat him. Now, you can rationalize to yourself, T-Wood, Oh, I did this, I did that. The same with Maya. Oh, I fought through my arm. But yo, my man, it really is true. You whine more than Keith Sweat, okay? You beg better than Bobby Brown. That's just it, bro. You bet. Oh, I feel disrespected. They don't know how to market black people. No, they don't know how to market your boring ass. Cause you boring, dog. Like, you. I remember one time in one of his interviews, he said Thompson felt entitled. Like, my man, you call yourself the chosen one. Chosen for what? That right there is an entitled statement. You're the one. I'm the chosen one. No, dog. You're the boring one. Ain't no one care about you. And this time off. Ain't no one caring about you, T-Wood. You want super fights, and yet you're super boring. No one wants to see you versus these. Super fights are when the champion has just created so much hype in his division. It's like, yo, who's left? He's destroyed. He looks around his landscape, and there's heads on a pole. He's drinking his enemy's blood. He's wearing their skin. This guy's Attila the Hun. He needs to step up a weight division because there's nobody left. Your weight division, there are so many people. Darren Till could take you. Maybe Neil Magny could take you. I'd love to see you rematch Lawler, even though Lawler is, you know, brain softy. Rafael Dos Anjos, maybe. Even though Dos Anjos, I don't really see him. I don't know why he's getting this title fight. Because I don't, even if, let's say, he beat Covington. Covington as well. I'm not even going to talk about Covington because his spiel is the same as Masvidal. They know that they have a limited time. Okay, Covington is the little Tay of the MMA division. He got to keep on doing his outlandish shit to get noticed. Because no one really will care about him when this shit is over. Like, his skill set is the basic premise of MMA. Some grappling, some striking, some clinching, position control on the top, and that's it. Like, he's not a world killer as well. He's fought nobodies. I don't care what anyone try. I don't care how much Joe Rogan tries to spin him and tries to spin, you know, Kamaru Usman. Even though I'm not saying that he's in the same league. It's just the welterweight division might be the most boring division in the UFC besides the heavyweight. Because these guys, like, there's Darren Till, he's a prospect. But where's his grappling at? You know, where's his jiu-jitsu? Where's his wrestling? Again, I called him the Brendan Vera of 2018. And we all know what happened to Brendan Vera with that weight cut issue. Darren Till, again, may need to start thinking about the longevity of his career and this constant 35-pound cut. I still feel, though, Till would smoke Covington. I mean, like, roll him up, grind it up in the grinder, put it in, roll it, get a Dutch, roll that, twist it, and then light it. He would smoke Covington if anything lands. Kamaru Usman is a dark horse. Neil Magny, I'm going to say, you know, he seems like one of them cats that's going to stay in the lower tier of the top 10. I don't think he's, and who knows, well, again, what do I know? I'm some guy in his living room. But I don't see him climbing the upper echelons. I don't see him doing it right now. I remember when he made noise when he beat Johnny Hendricks. And then nothing really there since that fight. So we're just going about who's the hot topic. I don't understand how Colby Covington is in the top three. Never mind the fact he got the right complexion to make that right connection. Because even his trash talk is boring. These cats can't talk. That's what Conor understood. And even though Kevin Lee talking about, oh, Conor copied our swag, our culture. You're boring as fuck too because you're just, you know, you're copying Conor, dog. You're Conor's little brother. You're his adopted brother that want to be like him. Kevin Lee is the Colby Covington of the lightweight division. You open your mouth a lot, but your record doesn't show. And the cats you fight when they are top league, like, yo, Tony Ferguson took you out. Khabib would take you out. That's just facts, dog. That's just facts. But because he knows he has this limited time and it's just a rush to make money. This is the sellout era. I know I'm not going to really get up there the real way. So let me just talk, say crazy stuff, make a scene whenever I can, and that will get me skipped up. And I understand when people complain about this era, because I feel like I'm one of them people too. That's why I don't really follow this shit anymore, because it's just, who got the biggest mouth? Who's willing to do, you know, this is the little Tay era. Kevin Lee and Colby Covington are the little Tay of MMA. That rhymes. That's how you know it's real. They just got to open their mouth and something will attract attention. And then that attention will leap them a couple of notches up. Covington is not beating Darren Till. Jorge Masvidal tried to do that. Yo, me and Colby Covington, we coming for it. And where's Masvidal now? I swore he was going to do Thompson dirty. I said, man, there's no way Stephen Thompson going to take him out. What happened? Thompson took that decision. He controlled him. There was nothing that Jorge Masvidal was doing right. Stephen Thompson, sad to say, deserves his number one spot. He's the only one, you know, I think he would take Dos Anjos out too. Lawler as well. I'd love to see Colby Covington fight Stephen Thompson, but that's not going to happen because UFC like his mouth. They think he's pretty. That's exactly what he's doing. He blowing the UFC. He giving them oral. Media-wise, the UFC loves him because he creates a media storm. He giving the UFC media department, he giving them oral. He just sucking them off like Illuminati party, just sucking them all off. That's all he doing, bro. And that's why he got that spot. He not gonna stay up there. And even if he won the belt, he not gonna keep the belt. You could kind of tell when these cats were trying to race. Conor McGregor was the first one to race to the top, but there really was no longevity. Like, dog, you barely got by Nate in that second fight. And again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but Nate, who got squashed by Thompson, who never had a title run in his division, he never was a world beater. Nate with them long, sloppy, lanky punches. I mean, who am I? Again, I'm just a dude in his living room. But this, if you took Nate Diaz into a K1 level striking match, you think he would do good? Like, you think Nate and Nick's best submission is the submission of attrition. They just push the pace. Hit me 50 times. I could take it. Wear yourself out on my face. Then I'm going to beat you. That's how they beat you. They just condition themselves so well. They can take an insane amount of punishment. And when dudes gassed out, never mind the fact these dudes are like 6'4". Fighting in 170 and lightweight. If we would have put Nick and Nate at middleweight, I think we would have saw a lot more of finishes for them. Their height gave them such an advantage. Because we're not gonna act like we don't know that when you punch up, it takes off some of the pop of your punches. We know this. This is a common boxing analogy. When you punch up, it takes a little off the punches. Look how tall Nate Diaz is and compared to everyone else in the welterweight division. I mean, come on now, let's not act like Nate Diaz is this legend. He really not. He barely like what? He was a barely top 15, top 10 fighter in his division. And him and Conor neck and neck. And Conor's the greatest MMA fighter of all time. Come on now. Conor has he's the new Randy Couture. He got that good timing. When Randy fought Tim Sylvia, here's the truth. Tim Sylvia was coming off like back surgery. He was fucked up. So Randy picked the right time to come back. When he won that lightweight title from Chuck, he picked the right time to come back and take it. Tito was coming back from surgery. He picked the right time to fight Tito. And I'm not trying to say it's just not their skill, but come on now. There's cherry picking in boxing, there's cherry picking in MMA too. And when you got Dana in your phone as Uncle Dana, man, you know you're part of the club, man. You know Dana gonna help your career a little bit more than as if you're fucking John Jones or you're Damian Maya. I mean, come on now. We know that. We know Dana got a hard on for his white hope. I remember when they were hyping Rich Franklin. Then he goes to Japan and gets squashed by Machida. Like, yo, drop down to middleweight and we'll hook you up. We'll revamp your career. When Chuck got mashed out in Pride, he come back. He's a killer. Let's forget that Pride should ever happen. Come on now. Uncle Dana be looking out his nephews. That's just how it is. And Colby Covington is now, he's now slobbing off the media. And now he's under Uncle Dana's little wing. Conor too. Conor, the featherweight champion that never defended his featherweight belt. He gets that magical spot because he got a big mouth. He got Ireland. He got a whole island behind him. There's never been an Irish MMA fighter popular. So you know they're dying to bet. It's like Bisping. Bisping got England. Oh, man, England. Shout out to ex-girlfriends. But back on MMA. You know Bisping got that. He got that island on lock. So anytime they want to make money in England, you know you got Michael Bisping. So you know that's why he was given. Michael Bisping's middleweight run was a joke. Was a joke. Honestly, he fits himself in. Rockhold, I think Rockhold lost his swag because he know he's the reason why Bisping got the title. He said, here, Mike, I'm going to completely think that I'm the man and I'm going to completely go against the tenement of fighting. Never underestimate your opponent. Every opponent is a world killer when you're fighting. Which is why I still say Jones is the best. Jones fought everyone like it was life and death, like they were Fedor. He knew all their ins and outs. He studied them. He became them in his mind, okay? John Jones is the Will Graham from Red Dragon of MMA. He puts himself in the mind of his opponent and then figures a way how to work that. That's why he's the greatest. Luke Rockhold, for all his tools and, you know, he's... Never mind the fact, Luke Rockhold's hands are a fucking joke, all right? I've seen him hit pads. Luke Rockhold, he boxes... I can't even give someone who boxes uncomparable like Rockhold. Like, for an MMA fighter, your hands are trash. You got kicks, wrestling, and jiu-jitsu, but your hands are trash. Michael Bisping had better hands and caught you because you slept on him. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to believe, achieve, succeed, ninja execute, Tony Robbins execute, and it just didn't work. He gave Bisping that by his mentality, and now he's broke because he has to live. He's broken mentally because he has to live with that. Bisping got the title because I gave it to him, and I could never get that. I can never get that confidence back because arrogance is false confidence. He was arrogant. He told himself, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best. No, dog, you're not the best, because the best doesn't say I'm the best. They say I need to be better than I was yesterday at what I'm weakest at today. And you just grow from there. And that wasn't Rockhold's approach, and that's why we see mentally he's falling apart. You see that a lot now. That might be Tyrone Woodley. Once someone comes and really says, Tyrone, all that crying, here you go. Bam. He may never recover. He need to take this time and really enjoy it because there's killers in that division, man. Maybe it's Kamaru Usman. Who knows? Maybe it's Darren Till. Who knows? But they're coming, T-Wood. They coming. And that crying phase need to be worked out or something. The welterweight division is, it's a weird, strange place. Weird. It's like the middleweight division. Except the middleweight division, you got Romero, Whitaker. Who else? Like, who really making noise in middleweight too? Like, it's Yoel, Whitaker, Weidman's done. My man Gegard. Gegard should be in there. But Gegard jumped ship. And, you know, congrats to Gegard Mousasi on his win in Bellator. I myself have to say, I fully respect Gegard Mousasi as an MMA fighter. Even though he's, you know, he's coming into his own personality still, he's the complete package. And even my biggest moment, like, wow, how crazy good Gegard really is the moment he lost to, what's his name? Uriah Hall. Uriah Hall hit him with that spinning monster back kick, blasted brain matter out the side of his ear. And you could see Gegard still trying to fight to get back up, to regain his bearings. That's a tough bastard right there. And hats off to him for winning Bellator. I hope he does big things. I hope he comes back to the UFC. I would love to see him, even though he need to not. I think he could beat Whitaker. I don't know if he could beat Romero. But again, Romero's time is winding down. I hope he wins this title this summer, because if Whitaker does it to him again, which I think my head says Whitaker, my emotions want Romero. But if Whitaker might pull out it again, or maybe Whitaker's time off might do him in, and Yoel still being active, still being fresh, going through these fights, maybe that gives him the edge. We'll see. But the welterweight and middleweight divisions is a strange area. Bisping and Woodley were the same caliber of champion. They wanted to, okay, I got the belt. Let's jump in. What fight going to make me money? I need money. I need money. And they cared. They have no concern about a lineage. There's no, you're the killer of your division, and this is why. You know, Bisping wasn't no killer. He took, congrats to him for taking what he got and making the most of it. He took the fight on 6 days' notice. He took Rockhold's disdain for his skill, and he ran with it. But then what were his title defenses? Who did he defend? Dan Henderson? Couldn't even finish Henderson. And then he loses to GSP? I mean, come on, man. We already knew he wasn't. He was just trying to milk that. And I feel it's the same thing for Woodley. Woodley trying to milk that for some super fight that nobody cares. No one cares because you're super boring. You're super whiny. The only super fight is fighting to not fall asleep when you fight, dog. Like the Maya fight. It was horrible. You should have crushed Damian Maya. You could have Fedor'd him. Boom. In his guard. Bang, bang, bang. I am a monster. Come at me, bro. But nah, like, yo, I had a torn arm and you can't fight. I fought the guy. If you have to make the excuses for your performance, fans already be like, oh, tune out. Check out. All right, dog. Like, it's just the way fighting is. The fans don't want to hear it. No one cares about excuses either. Don't give me excuses. Give me results. And he's failed to deliver, especially looking like a Greek god. Just by the visage people see you, they expect you to be just blasting folks. Now, if you would have knocked out Lawler, you would have knocked out Thompson, you would have knocked out Meyer, you would have got your super fight, bro. Dudes would have been like, oh, he's a killer, yeah. Not really. And then, oh, how many people out of this top 10 have you fought? Santiago Pazinobio? No. Neil Magny? No. Darren Till? No. Jorge Masvidal? Don't think so. Meyer? Boring win. Kamara? No. Covington? No. Lawler? Your one knockout. Dos Anjos? No. Steven Thompson? Them two draws, dog. You and Thompson are neck and neck. That's why no one cares about you. You're not really the champion in people's eyes. You may be holding that belt, but Steven Thompson is your Daniel Cormier. And you ain't blow him out. John Jones is the epitome of why we need super fights. His super fight with Anderson Silva. Anderson Silva at the time was why we needed super fights. He killed everything. He laid waste to his division. Him and Jones not fighting, it's a travesty in my heart. But you understood the hype of why that maybe was going to happen. Because it was two champions, one above, one a little bit below. And they were just murdering everything in between. And you were like, oh, these two got to meet. Even though it didn't happen, you understood the hype. No one want to see you fight Conor McGregor. No one care about that fight for you. Conor McGregor don't care about that fight. You ain't making money. You ain't moving needles, dog. You put people to sleep. You're 175-pound Demetrius Johnson. Everyone calling Demetrius Johnson, he's the great, he's the pound-for-pound number one. In the weakest-ass division with these dudes that are, they would not be in the top 10 of any other division. Like, did you see the armbar against Ray Borg? Ray Borg is a newbie. Henry Cejudo is a newbie, a great Olympic athlete, but he ain't make no noise. Look, John Jones killed the killers of his division. Every killer, every ex-champion. Remember when Glover Teixeira was like on a 23-fight win streak? Remember when Rashad Evans was in the top 10? When Machida was the champion? Ex-champion? Remember when Shogun was the man? Like, yo, Jones has shown you how to do it. Kill everything and make it look damn near easy. Machida landed one. In Jones's reign, you could think you can only come up with moments where it looked like he was in trouble. The Vitor armbar, the Machida hand, and the Gustafsson rounds 2 and 3. Even the Gustafsson fight, you saw him pull it out. He almost had Gustafsson out. He had him. I'm pronouncing my man's name all wrong. We'll just call him Alex. Alex G. He had him doing the Crip Walk in rounds 4 and 5. He was just all over the place. He was doing the Ric Flair flop a little bit. Like, Jones showed you, yeah, I almost lost, but then I almost had my man ghosted. You're like, oh, okay. Oh, whew. Thank God John showed. Jones always showed up above and beyond. I don't care about the coke, you know, the steroids. Taking that aside, and when that cage door locked, he showed up. Except maybe the same Peru fight. Or St. Prue fight, apologies. I'm messing up everyone's name. But that was a late replacement opponent. Jones controlled him, handled him, broke his arm. Man, like, you know, it was kind of boring, but it was a controlled. There was never any moment that you could have said, yo, he almost had Jones. He made Jones look. None of that. Jones just cruised. That's the boring thing about him in that fight. He just cruised. He finished Cormier. Look at what Cormier's done. That's what also, the cherry on top. Cormier has dominated every other person. He's in heavyweight and light heavyweight. Yet he can't hold the candle to John. John makes him go in a corner and cry. Like that says it all, man. The fans cry when you fight T.T. Wood like that. You got to change that, man. Like, no one want to hear your excuses and no one want to hear you chase fights that no one want to see, bro. You gotta work on that, please. I'm tired of hearing you right now. Really. Remember, folks, it's better to be the predator than it is to be the prey. Giddy up. Go get it.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.